Well, good morning to each of you and Christian greetings and a warm welcome here. I trust that you already this morning have been greatly inspired and drawing closer to God. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul will be secure. We just sang that phrase in this last song that we sang. I trust that's our experience this morning. As one looks into the face of this audience and I see the size of the crowd of people that are here, it makes me realize my responsibility again this morning as we share the Word of God and break the meditations to us this morning, the awesome responsibility that we as ministers have to feed the flock of God that is before us. And I know my brethren and myself don't do this. We do take it seriously. I thought about that this week as I was preparing and share. I didn't know how large the number of people. I didn't know who was going to be here. But I thought about the crowd that I would probably be facing this morning, and you haven't disappointed me. I'm glad you're here. I welcome you here. We want you here. I'm going to share a message this morning that's one of my passions, and as soon as I introduce it, you'll recognize it because I have talked about this over the years quite a bit. We're going to talk about church life this morning, the church, but I have simply titled the message, A Body of Believers. So the subject of church life and church, and we think about that, is a large subject, and there's a lot of avenues to this subject of church life. We cannot cover it at all this morning. But in the introduction, I'm going to share with you why I've been thinking about this for a number of some time, and this week as I looked at our Sunday school lesson and saw what the Sunday school lesson was about, I decided, well, maybe now is my time to share some of my broader thoughts on church life. Our Sunday school lesson was reflecting on more or less, yes, building church, but also branching out and reaching out and those kind of things, which is a part of church life and needs to be, and my heart is in that. I'm in tune with that and think the church should be doing that. But this morning I want to think more on the thought of, well, let me just say it like this. What a wonderful privilege this morning to be a part of God's special heavenly family, heavenly group, I'll call it. The Church of Jesus Christ. Do you count it a privilege this morning? And I wonder what went through your mind, maybe yesterday, this morning, last night, as you were thinking about this being Sunday, and you were thinking about the gathering of God's people. I just wonder what each one thinks when they think about that. Do you think about the fact that as we come to the house of God this morning, that we're coming here with the purpose of worshiping Jesus, worshiping the author and finisher of our faith, the Bible says, but the one who has instituted, the one who has put in place this assembly, the one who has called us from darkness into his marvelous light, into a relationship with each other that we can gather in and we can enjoy the fellowship this morning? Were you anticipating a warm fellowship? Were you anticipating gathering in this morning to have your heart stirred and your soul inspired and just, Lord, light the great fires of your love in my soul? Is that what you were anticipating? Is that what's happening this morning? I trust it is. When I think about the church and the thing that the organization, the earthly organization that God has put in place for the benefit of each one of our souls, for our spiritual good, I just, it warms my heart. And I get quite excited about church life. And yet, in the humdrum of life sometimes, we start thinking about church. Yeah, it probably depends on what your responsibilities are and what, how much you put yourself into church life as to what you think about it. But you know, friends, this morning, one of the most wholesome provisions that God has made for the welfare of us, his people, was to call into being an organization, I'm going to call it, to serve as a spiritual home for us as we live earth life, as we gather together and we encourage each other. The Hebrew writer said that one of the purposes is to gather in and encourage each other, and he says so much more as we see the day approaching. I suppose this is a reflection of my age and my own thoughts. You might not share this quite in the same way I do. But I do believe, as I think about the idea of the day approaching, I believe the day is approaching. Mm-hmm. One of those phrases that we sang this morning, the phrase just left me now, but it had the thought of each step we're taking is bringing us closer to the end of our journey. It's bringing us closer to facing God. It's facing the things, the reality of life is here. One of the things that made me think about this subject, you all know as we gather in that church life has changed here. It's just a known fact that church life has changed here at Blue Ridge in the last few years. We have a lot of new faces that have come, and I don't want any of those new faces to feel like you shouldn't be here this morning. We're glad for every one of you. I'm glad you're here. And yet I know that there is also the thought sometimes that is this going to quit? Is how many more? How large is the group going to get? And there's concerns, there's questions that go along with that, and rightly so. But I want to encourage us this morning, and I want to comfort our hearts as we think about church life and think about what is happening. And I view it as a blessing. I view it as something good. And yes, it brings new challenges along to us as a congregation. We face new things as leaders that we need to decide. And you all are a part of that. It does bring added dimension of things that are concerns and need to be looked at. But that's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And we're going to think about some of that as we go through the message this morning. What is the Church of Jesus Christ this morning? This group of people here at Blue Ridge, I believe that we here are, you're a group of believers, I'm talking, and that's why I entitled the message, A Body of Believers, because I believe that this is a body of believers. I believe it's a part of God's church. It's a part of the greater church, the universal church. We're just a small part of it. But we are here as a congregation this morning, and we have privileges, we have responsibilities, we have things that are a blessing to us, and I want to view it in that way and encourage us this morning. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ consists of redeemed people, people who have been called out from the masses of unbelievers that are in society, in the world around us. This group of people as we gather in this morning is a group of people that God has been working in your hearts and in your lives, and you've been on a journey and you came here because, I believe, because God was directing each one of us to come here. As I thought about that this week and I sat at my desk and I was pondering this, my mind went back to my own journey. Where I was and where I came from and what all brought me, what all decisions, what all happened in my life, and I get probably spend all morning telling you some of that journey this morning. I don't have time to do that. But I am struck this morning as I think about that, when I stop and I think where I was at one point, who I was, how I was raised, the setting I came from, and the things that I endorsed at one time that today, I can't believe that I was there. Today I shake my head and I say, really, was that a part of my life at one time? And it was just accepted. It was an accepted practice. It was an accepted thing. You know, God was working one step at a time in my life and in my heart and brought me through the journey to the point where I'm standing here preaching to a group of people this morning. And I praise God for that. I thank God for that. That's my journey. Each one of you can stop and consider your journey and has your own story where you came from. But we are here this morning because God worked in our journey is the point I want to make. And God called us out from the masses of people who he still wants to call out and wants to come. In fact, God would be happy if the next room behind us were full of people here at Blue Ridge that would like to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, God's view of this group of people is, the Bible uses this term. It says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God views the church, the people, the people that are redeemed, he views them as a holy nation. He says they're a peculiar people. Now, that word peculiar is an interesting word. The way we use it in our English language today, we think of in terms of a little different and maybe even a little odd. That's not what it means in the Bible here. It means that we are a people who have obtained, a people who God has worked his work of salvation in fullness, in completeness in our hearts. He has given us this. It's the glory of God. It's the working of God is what it has in mind. It's a thing that we have acquired, may I say it that way. It's this idea of salvation. It's this idea of a possession that we have this morning within us. And beyond that, it is God's own possession. It is a peculiar people to God. It is his possession. It also has the idea, it has numerous, if you look that word up in Strong's, there's numerous meanings to it, but it also has the idea of a people who are of the same mind, have the same desires, want the same fellowship, serve the same God, recognize the same Jesus in their life. It's that thought of oneness. The body of believers is a body who is united in oneness, same goal, same purpose, same idea, same agenda. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 for a text this morning. There are so many Bible verses that one could look at this morning surrounding this whole subject of the church and this whole idea of its the oneness and all that. But Ephesians chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters. It's a deep chapter, and yet it's Paul writing to the Ephesians put the work of the church in, I'm going to say, into a nutshell. A lot of what the rest of the Bible has to say, but Paul just capstones it, and we're going to look at this. In fact, I'm going to take the time to read the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 1, and I invite you to just follow along and just try to think, try to comprehend as we go what Paul is saying and how this chapter relates to the Church of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Notice that first of all. Paul was a man that we know was on a journey too, and it was by the will of God. Every one of us is here this morning by the will of God. He says, to the saints that are at Ephesus. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. But he was writing to more than the church at Ephesus. He was writing to the saints at Blue Ridge this morning. Notice the next phrase. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. All the saints throughout all times are benefiting from the writings of Paul. Isn't that so beautiful this morning to think about that? Let's read on. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is that talking about us this morning? I hope so. according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment of our salvation, the down payment of the future for us, the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of our understanding this morning being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. How many messages do you think are in that chapter? Brothers, you can do it again and again and again and keep preaching. Let me say this. In the Old Testament, the Lord's portion, the Lord's people, his portion, his inheritance in the Old Testament was his chosen people, Israel. Today, in the church age, in the New Testament time, and in our day to day, the Lord's portion, his inheritance today, is the born again, redeemed people that he called out of the masses of unbelievers that I was talking about. He has his heart set on the church. The heart is dear to Jesus this morning because he paid the price to redeem us and made it possible. In fact, the Bible tells us that the church of Jesus Christ is the apple of his eye. You think about the apple of the eye, or the pupil of your eye, let's say it in our language today. It's very tender, isn't it? You don't want me to poke you in the eye. I don't want you to poke my eye. We protect our eyes. God feels the same way about his church this morning. And for us to make light of church life, or for us to make havoc in church life, is a dangerous thing to do, a serious thing to do, because we're touching the apple of his eye. We need to think about that. I pondered that this week, and I think back to things that happened in church life. The Church of Jesus Christ has been abused by people at times. We must be very, very careful with that. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is that God's planning for the church was not a last-minute decision. Look at verse 3. Verse 4, the first phrase in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God in his sovereignty, God in his all-knowing all things, God who is the creator of all things, had planned, because he knew man was going to make choices like he did, he knew man was going to fall, he knew there was going to be sin in the world, and he knew there was going to have to be a redeemer to turn things around and redeem man and give man an opportunity. Plant for that before it was ever created. He knew before the foundations of the world were put in place that you and I would be sitting in this audience right here in this church building here at Blue Ridge. Someday he was going to work in your heart, he was going to work in my heart, and he was going to take us on a journey in life that would bring us all together and be here together in this way this morning. God knew it. He knew it all. He had it all planned. Your life, my life, was planned by God in that way. Verse 3 and verse 4 makes it clear that God had designed the church, and he even knew who would be a part of it before he created the world. The second thing I want you to notice is that it is Christ's church. It is Christ's church. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We jump down to verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by who? By Jesus Christ to himself. And it was a joy to him to do it according to his good pleasure. He wanted to do it. Jesus wanted to redeem the church. He wanted this body to be together. It was the praise of his glory. It says, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Oh, but for the grace of God, this morning we're here sitting in this way and can be redeemed through his blood, experiencing the forgiveness of sins this morning, being a body of Christ. It is Christ's work. It is Christ's church. It was God's plan, and through his son Jesus, that we are now the children of God. And so this morning, we dare not forget that Christ is the founder. He is the head of the church, the Bible tells us. He is the one. Well, in Matthew, I believe it is, where he told Peter, he said, thou art Peter. And this was the words of Jesus. And he said, and upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. And so this morning, in every congregation where God's people meet, he is building the church. And we need to understand that this morning. We need to understand that God is placing the members in the church. And if you're here this morning and you fear because you think the church is growing way too fast and have that fear, I thought about this. Think what it was like in the early church when they preached and there was 3,000 souls added onto the church in one day, or wasn't there 5,000 at one place that were added onto the church? We're just a small group of people this morning compared to that. Yes, we do well to learn to know each other, but in those days when so many were together, and they didn't all know each other either, I don't think, and yet they had one thing in common, and that was their spirit and their mind and their desires and their goals were one. Can we this morning with 200 people, 300 people, have the same spirit, have the same goals, have the same mind, pull together in church life, love each other, care about each other? Friends, that's my heart this morning, and I want to encourage us in that. We need to do that. Since the church has been called into existence and ordained of God, it's our spiritual home here on earth. Should it not have our wholehearted support? Should it not have our commitment? Should it not have our whole heart being involved in it? You see, friends, it is both a privilege and, I'm going to say, a duty. It is. The Church of Jesus Christ, as we have the privilege of being a part of it, brings responsibilities to it. We each in our own lives need to keep our lives in tune so that the church is in tune, so that the church is pure. We need to live pure, faithful lives so that, because, well, the Bible says that Christ is coming back for a church who is holy and without blemish. And so that's our responsibility this morning, to be spirit-filled people, obedient to the Christian life, and appreciate what God did for us when he instituted the Christian church, so that his church is what he instituted, what he made it, and what he wants it to be. We have the responsibility to keep it that. And so I'd just like to encourage us with that this morning. Let's be faithful and make sure that each one of us is making the contribution that we can to church life. We're all made different. We all have different gifts. We could talk about that this morning. The Bible refers to the church as there's different ways that the Bible describes it, but one of them is a building where we all fit together. Anyhow, fitly framed together, it says. We have different gifts, we have different abilities this morning, and that's good. That's God loves variation. I believe God wants variation. The challenge to us is are we using the abilities, the gifts that we do have to contribute to the body? Well, let's move on. The third thing that I would like to point out to us this morning is that in order for us to be the Church of Jesus Christ and remain the Church of Jesus Christ, the church's guiding principles must be the Word of God. I used the word organization this morning already, and it is an earthly organization, as it were. And God uses men to put it in place. God ordains leaders. God ordains people with responsibilities. And the church has, we have the privilege this morning in our generation to, we're actually been riding along in the coattails of generations before who have already put things in place for us. But we do well to be careful how we change, because God is not a God of change. Yes, changes are good. Changes are right. Life goes on and life does change. And there are things that we relate to today that we haven't related to in the past. But the point I want to make, we have the Word of God and the principles of God right here. God has put the church in place, and God has established the guidelines for the church. He has put them here. Not every little detail is in black and white. Sometimes we wish it were, but the principles are here, and that is our responsibility to look at those principles and say, but as it relates to this subject and as it relates to that, this is how we together decide we're going to do those things, and that is right and that is proper. And would to God that we never go anywhere else besides his word for the principles of the church. I noted in the beginning that the Church of Jesus Christ consists of redeemed people who have been called out. Christ has made every provision this morning for his church to live above sin and evil and to live in victory in him. We don't have to fail this morning. Yes, we fail. We don't have to. We will be victorious this morning. Let me say it that way. When we follow the principles of His Word, and each member and each one of us lives a godly life, and we rise above sin and above evil, and God gives us the strength and the power to do that. That came out in one of these verses here. As we were reading down through, it talked about the power of Jesus in our lives. I can't lay my eyes on it right now. But my point is this morning, we are not alone. We are not alone. We have Christ on our side. And He wants us to reach out. Well, yeah, the last couple in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Right here is a whole message in itself. That God would give each member, God would give each saint this morning a revelation of the knowledge of Him. We have that this morning. We don't have to be defeated. We can live in victory. He gives us the spirit of wisdom. He gives us those things. But maybe we need to dig a little deeper ourselves to find it sometimes. Maybe we're too shallow at times. I know I am. I should dig deeper than I do at times. And I'm challenged by that. So that the eyes of our understanding, verse 18, can be enlightened. That's what God wants to do to us. But He wants us to dig to get there. He doesn't just do that for us. We have to study. We have to apply ourselves. We don't just somehow haphazardly get there. You cannot just read the Bible and skim over top and tell yourself, well, I did my responsibility today. I read God's Word. No, we must study. We must dig. Like I said, He's coming back for a church that is holy and without blemish and a people who has applied themselves. And so the church needs to, is constantly faced with this idea of looking to the Bible, looking to God's Word, searching it, seeking it, so that we know how to go, how to guide the church, so that you know how to walk within the church. It's your responsibility as members to do that. Yes, we as leaders have a responsibility of feeding and guiding and teaching and those kind of things. And I am so glad. I'm going to say this morning. My wife and I talk about this because I benefit from this just like you do. But do you know as a congregation this morning that you come here and you have a variation of preaching from time to time like almost no other churches do? There's not too many churches around that have three preachers and two deacons and a good bishop sitting in them that just circulates in there, plus everything else that gets pulled in. And we benefit from that. And I praise God for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm making that point this morning because I want you to be aware of the privilege that you have in coming here and having that. Yes, I know we're all different in our presentations, in our preaching and all that, and that is good. That's a part of God's plan as well. But praise God for that and be thankful for the church life that you have. I'm so blessed as an older person to be able to sit here and see the younger men get up with the abilities they have. And we saw that this morning in church life here. A young man who is teaching Sunday school, who's applying himself, and it just blesses my heart. God bless you for that and keep it up. I want to encourage you all in that this morning. Moving on, number four, the fourth point I'd like to make this morning. I said earlier, I don't know what you think about when you think about church life or what goes through your mind as you come in here. But the church, this is my fourth point, the church is a shelter for the people of God. Mm-hmm. I said we're called from the masses of unbelievers. There is a world out there that we rub shoulders with all week long. And if you're like me, you get tired of it sometimes. It wears down on us. You get tired of rubbing shoulders with ungodly people, people with corrupt minds, the language we hear, the stories we hear. And probably some of you hear much more of that than I do because I'm a farmer and I'm home by myself, but I do get out in the business world and I do face up to these kind of things sometimes. But it's just a blessing to be able to come to church. This morning I was looking so forward to coming here to church and just being with you all here and just being inspired. I felt like I needed it. I needed a connection with people that were going to be an encouragement to me. And this is where we find it. You know, this was not a new idea to God. Back in the Old Testament, God had already put all the cities of refuge in place for the people to run to find shelter and to for their lives to be spared. Well, that's what this church is for us this morning. It's a spiritual shelter for us this morning. Christ refers to himself, so it's Christ's church, and Christ said about himself that he is the good shepherd. So we think about the idea of the sheepfold and the shepherd, and we know what a shepherd is to sheep. The sheep love the shepherd. They want to come to the shepherd. They trust. They have confidence. They find security. They find shelter in that sheepfold with the shepherd being there. This morning, that's how it is for you and I. The church should be that to us. I hope it is. I hope you're finding that experience. But that is what church life should be about. It ought to be a shelter. It ought to be a place where we want to go and be and contribute to it and work with the people that are there. Even if some of the ideas and some of the things that happen in church life are different than what you and I think, it's still for our spiritual good. And as long as there's not sin there, as long as there's not things there that God condemns, we should be supporting it. We should be there. The church is for our good. You know that each one of us needs the church more than the church needs me. I need you all more than what you need me, in other words. It's just, and you can all think about it in that way. Yes, if I am no longer here, if time goes on, eventually that'll happen. And I believe that you all can go on, the younger generation can go on in church life and have church life. And after a while, you won't even think about the fact that there was a man by the name of Lamar in church life. It just works that way. Generations go and we forget about it. But we need the church while we're here. What a fold this morning. What a place to find refuge in. Under the faithful care of the great shepherd of his sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang a song this morning, and I can't get the phrase, but the phrase stood out to me again. The thought was that in our relationship with Jesus, Jesus can meet needs in us that even this body of believers that no one else can meet. You know, we encourage each other and we mean so much to each other, but there are times when my soul needs a connection that is beyond what I'm going to even find right here with you all. I need Jesus. I need his influence, his touch, I'll say it that way, in my life. What a privilege this morning. What a fold under the faithful shepherd. It's the flock of his sheep. So is this church this morning here at Blue Ridge, under the faithful leaders, people who care about each other, people who encourage each other, people who reach out to each other. And we talked about that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. A place where each seeker feels welcome. I want to emphasize that this morning. A place where each seeker feels welcome. Everyone that comes through these doors should feel welcome here. Dear friends, there was a day when I was the seeker, when you were the seeker. There was a day when we, a group of us, went elsewhere and we filled a church house all of a sudden for someone else. I'll just inject that thought and let you think about that this morning. If it happens again and again and again here at Blue Ridge, let's not complain about it. Let's welcome the seekers. They are the people that God is calling out of masses of unbelievers. The church needs to be a shelter. We need to be a shelter. Number five, the church is a place of spiritual nourishment for the people of God. We all read our Bibles. I trust you do. You have your daily devotions. You read your Bible. You get nourishment during the week. But you know what? In my heart and in my experience, there's an added dimension of nourishment that comes when I come to the house of God. The place, the church, is a place of that spiritual nourishment. We come here and we're encouraged. We need spiritual nourishment to stay alive and grow. It's just like our physical food is so important. We go without physical food for a little bit and we start feeling faint. It's not any different in our spiritual lives. And so we come together. The church is God's wise provision for continual spiritual nourishment, the nourishment of God's people through Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit works through each one of us, and we share and we encourage and we feed each other. Behind all of us this morning, behind the Holy Spirit is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus is the greatest dietitian that was ever put in place. He knows what our diet needs. He knows the Spirit knows what to bring to us, to work through us and in our lives and share with each other. It's the way the church works. And it's just such an encouragement. And I praise God for that this morning. We could go, just think of the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he goes on and he talks about what all God did for him there in Psalm 23. We're not going to turn there, but I think of that. And that's just what God does for his church, through the church. So we come together here for spiritual nourishment. I hope that when you think about church life next week, next Saturday, when you're preparing for Sunday, you start thinking about the fact that tomorrow we're not just getting to get together in church just to see friends and family. And I hope it's deeper than that. As you study your Sunday school lesson and as you think about teaching and the responsibilities that you have, that you start applying yourself and you say, you know, this is there's something deeper, there's something more serious about this than just gathering in and having a good time together. Yes, we love the fellowship with each other. But friends, it's more than this. God looks at it in a serious way, and God rejoices when he sees people who take it seriously. Well, that takes me on to my sixth point. I already started entering into that. But the church provides an adequate means of Christian fellowship. It does. Think what it would be like this morning not to have this fellowship, not to be able to get together in this way, not to know each other in the way that we do know each other. Maybe we don't know each other as good as we should. Maybe we ought to put more effort into learning to know each other better, learning to know each other's heartbeats better. But thank God this morning that we at least know each other as well as we do, and we can come together and we can fellowship. Where would you sooner be this morning than here with a group of believers, with the people of God? Ask yourself that question. We have social circles. All week long we have family ties, we have business ties, we have our social circles, you know, we have a lot of social circles, and they're okay, they're needed, they're there. It's life. But where would you sooner be, as you think about all those social circles, would you sooner be in that business world this morning than be here? Would you sooner just be home with your own little family and a little group than being here with the children of God? What does it really mean to us this morning? Do we appreciate the privilege of being together? You see, all those little circles, they do meet some of our social needs, but just in a little part. A family meets, yes, a big part, should meet a big part of it, but it doesn't meet it all. Work, That circle of people, it has its place and we benefit from it and we enjoy it, but it only meets certain needs. Within the Church of Jesus Christ, within these walls, this great dietitian that I was talking about, and with each other, it's an adequate means of Christian fellowship. There are so many more needs that are met right here this morning that we can enjoy and have the privilege of having. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and this fellowship is more precious, I'm going to say, because of God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. It is his church this morning. He's here and he's interested. And so this morning we find adequate fellowship here. Number 7, and the last point this morning. Coming to church in this way, it keeps us in touch with heavenly influences. And this is closely connected to what I said as well. But just think about what happens at church in church life here. We come together and we sing, and the songs speak to every heart, every need. Everybody benefits. There's something, I'm sure, through some song this morning, if you were thinking and following the words that fit your soul, it's a heavenly influence through songwriters, through songs that touch our hearts. The ring of heaven, I'm going to say, is heard in every gospel message. Every time a minister or a devotional leader or somebody stands up at one of these pulpits and shares, there's a heavenly ring that comes through that. If you're looking for it, if you're watching for it, if you hear it, if you're genuinely interested, there is a possibility that we can be sitting here and our minds are elsewhere and we miss it. But it's there. It is there, dear friends. The ring of heaven is heard in every message, every devotion, and I'm going to say in every song that's here. Or we could say it like this: the music of heaven is heard in every song. What it really is, this setting this morning, is a foretaste of heaven. Dear friends, you're sitting here this morning experiencing a foretaste of heaven. I really believe that. Jesus is here. He's interested in this. Your best friends, your spiritual friends, the people that really care about you, at least they should, I hope it is this way, are sitting right here with you, and we benefit from it. The beauty of being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is his church. Let's put our all into it. Shall we kneel for prayer?